Grant Fedoruk joins us once again. And Grant, I want to talk about hip impingements, and essentially that's what Jesse Puljujärvi had. He had the surgery. It sounds like you almost have bone spurs in the hips on both sides, so they remove it. And, they say it can be good. A lot of this is genetic, from what I understand. It's not like training can cause this. It's just, it's there, and then some people it comes out, other people it doesn't. What, from your experience working with guys, what's the biggest concern, if any, about coming back from surgery from this?
Oh, well, as far as coming back from surgery, it's no different than anything else. It comes down to how strong they are and dealing with the actual recovery from the surgery and what goes with that, which obviously includes swelling, inflammation, and the typical impacts of having surgery. So, as far as the surgical recovery from this, it's going to be very similar to rehabbing anything that you're going to do, any other kind of surgery that comes and the repercussions from those surgeries.
Now, I don't know, like every surgery is different, as you mentioned, right? Because you never know how, but these athletes, most of them, they're in great shape. And nowadays, the vast, vast majority come back. And in some cases, they're actually stronger in certain ones. Now, this was not a tendon or anything. It's just a bone thing. So the rehab of that, I'm guessing, is a lot different than somebody coming back from like a tendon issue.
Well, yeah. And in this case, it depends. I mean, the type of surgery matters too. And the way that they used to repair these are a lot different than how they repair them today. I mean, they used to be repaired with an open incision a lot more. There's a lot more trauma that goes along with that. And today, a lot of these surgeries are done arthroscopically. And so, it would be like, I don't want to compare it to meniscus tear in the knee, but essentially they do, it's a camera that goes in through a scope.
Yep.
And then their tools go in through another portal. It's far less invasive than it used to be. And so, of course, the recovery is going to be totally different than what it used to be, because you're right. They don't make an incision and dissect a lot of the muscle and the other tissue to get there. And so then afterwards, you don't have the same rehab because you haven't done that trauma to those tendons and the muscles like you were talking about. So you're right. It's definitely different than it used to be. And in this case, if we're talking about impingement, hip impingement, there's various ways the hip can be impinged. And the one that you're talking about, is a CAM type, usually a CAM type injury or femoroacetabular impingement, FAI is what you're kind of referring to. And in those instances, basically what has happened is, and usually, like I think you use the term genetic, usually it's just they occur for various reasons, but in most cases it's a developmental type thing.
Yeah.
It can happen in their teenage years. And they don't, lots of people have them, including athletes. They can have them for a long period of time. And it's not until the repercussions of that cause other problems that somebody might have pain. And so, for instance, it's a bony growth that occurs and starts to rub away or wear away at the actual lining of the socket. And you end up with a tear or damage to the labrum, which usually brings on the pain and starts to restrict the athlete, usually with movement to the hip. So you can imagine with sports like hockey, it'd be far more obvious and they would turn up more often. Gymnasts as well. So it's those kind of athletes that have a lot of movement occurring through their hip that are going to start to feel pain. But a lot other people can have this same type of malformation in their hip and not have any problems at all.
Now, what about labral tears in the hip? How are they treated any different? Are they exact the same than in your shoulder?
Okay, so, well, as far as treatment goes, they're managed somewhat different. The ball and socket in the shoulder is a little different in that you get a lot of mobility, but you sacrifice stability. So you can do a lot more with your shoulder, obviously, than you can do with your hip. And that's why it's more common to have tears in the labrum in the shoulder. Versus in the hip, you got a lot of stability, got a lot of powerful muscles absolutely protecting that joint, and a lot of thick ligaments that are also providing stability in there. So when you've got these repairs or you've got this damage done, like I said, in the shoulder, a labral tear is going to be much more, it's going to show up more often. You're going to see a lot of more repercussions of the tear or a tear in the labrum in the shoulder versus in a hip. But with certain activities and certain sports, they're going to show up more and more obviously, when you're when you've got it in the hip. If that answers your question.
Yeah. No. I guess what I meant was when you look at like, would you be more concerned of a hip or labral tear or a shoulder labral tear?
Oh, you know what? It depends. It's all a functional. The answer is totally functionally. So it depends on who's having a problem and why. So you can have a labral tear in the shoulder and function quite fine. It depends on your activity and what you're doing. So, but you also could have a labral tear in the shoulder and have a ton of instability as a result, like a shoulder that recurrently dislocates as a result of not having that labrum intact. In the hip, it's very unlikely that you're going to get a lot of instability. That's what I was describing earlier on, because you've got such powerful muscles and the tendons around it. And so the long and the short, both can be a concern. It depends on the impact they're having on the person. So if you're a hockey player and you've got a hip labral tear, it's going to be a big deal if it's causing you pain when you're skating, stopping, turning, pivoting. But if you've got a labral tear in the shoulder and you're a volleyball player, you're going to obviously have far more problems with the labral tear in the shoulder. It's totally a functional answer.
Grant Fedoruk joins us from Leading Edge Physio and Capilano Rehab. Now you talk about, because I'm getting a lot of texts from people who have children now, well, teenagers, young adults. Is there any way to test this to know if that bony growth, like, can you do any tests for this? Or is it only, because a lot of them, as you mentioned, you never feel it. And then by the time it's there, it's too late. So is there any way to tell if somebody has this where, you know, as they were in the growing years that they had that little deformity in their hip? Is there any way to do it?
Well, that would be the easiest way to find out would be on an x-ray, because it is an image and it is a bony growth that shows up. So if a person's having hip pain and it's prolonged and it's occurring, these will show up mostly with recurrent. So if you're an adult or a parent out there and you've got a kid who gets over and over, they're getting a lot of hip flexor pain or tendonitis, and they keep getting diagnosed with groin strains or hip flexor problems, then that's something that you want to get investigated further, because those are the kind of problems that will lead somebody like me to say, hey, there's something else going on here. You're not just going to get a young 14 or 15 year old who gets a hip flexor problem that's lasting months or recurrent. It's occurring over and over and over. So it's a bigger picture. You look at that. And then yes, there is some tests that we do to see if you've got impingement. It's taking the hip into what we call internal rotation. So rotating it. And a lot of these patients, or even young people, they'll complain of pain when you do that rotation in the hip. Okay. And you put that together and you draw a picture. So it's not just one thing. It's a combination of factors when you're going through an assessment with these guys. And usually it leads you to believe that that might be happening. But again, like I said, by the time there's pain, and that's usually what draws our attention to it, there's something else. There's some other tissue that's been impacted, and that's why they're getting discomfort. It's not just necessarily the bony growth that's there. So usually something has gone on as a result of that. Deformation.
Okay. Is there any advanced signs then that if all of a sudden a parent's listening and their child talk, like, is there certain little green lights that should go off in your head if you hear of your child complaining about this?
Like I said, it's those kind of it's occurring over and over and over, or they're not resolving with normal treatment.
Okay.
Young people have a high tendency of resolving with very conservative management. And when it's not happening, that's when it should start to kind of flash those red lights like you talked about.
Grant, good stuff, man. Be interesting to see. Now, in your experience, let's say the rehab, everything goes well for Jesse Puljujärvi. Is there a chance that this is a reoccurring thing that he'll have to have surgery on again in the future? Or usually when they do it once, it's good?
So the goal of the surgery is a few. One, to get him back, obviously, so that he doesn't have that impingement anymore, but also to prevent long-standing wear and tear, which will obviously lead to bigger problems down the road. So this should mitigate that need for, further surgery down the way. There's no guarantee after you have surgery that everything goes great and that you won't have a problem, but certainly it reduces the chance that you're going to need more extensive surgery. Like, for instance, a hip replacement. When these are occurring over a long period of time and there is a tear or wear on that labrum and it's not managed, more bone starts to grow. The body starts to try to manage it. And unfortunately, it's trying to do the best thing for you, but it's not necessarily how it works out. And so you end up actually with more problems. And And in some cases, like I said, an earlier need or a need for hip replacement when you might not have otherwise needed it.
Great stuff as always, Grant. Appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Same rule. Get it checked. If it's not going away, ask more questions, right?
Ask more. Yeah, that's always probably the best advice is if it's not going away, then look. And if the guy you see is telling you just to do the same thing, you might want to go get a second opinion.
That's always the best case. You betcha.
All right, Grant. Appreciate your time.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Jason. Have a great one.